Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It is Thursday evening, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. This is LA Talk Radio. My name is Jim Christina. I'm the host for the evening, actually the host for every evening. In studio tonight with my lovely and charming co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, who is just the delight of this show. We have in studio tonight, of course, Bobby's husband, Jim, who is always here with us, because he is not only her husband, he is also her chauffeur.
Yes, and my biggest fan.
and her biggest fan. And one of my favorite people in the whole world, my wife, Jerry.
We love here. Jerry.
We call Jerry the bookie because she does all of our booking. And on our way over here, I have to share this because it was a great story. We're leaving Simi Valley, coming out here, and all of a sudden we see all these policemen coming in, and we couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. And just a second, I think we have Henry on the line. Henry, are you with us?
Yeah, I sure am. How you doing, Jim?
We're doing great. Can you hang just a second?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, we're coming down the road. We see all these cops going the opposite direction, and they all have Simi Valley police on them. Jerry says, what are they doing out here in the valley? You know, and they're all doing towards Simi with their lights and everything's flashing. So we get down towards the 405, and they're coming the opposite direction. And this car comes right up beside us on the shoulder, ripping by us, almost hits a few cars, stops, pulls into the curb, backs up, and goes up the on-ramp. Along with a one motorcycle officer, then two other cop cars came and went across the freeway, and they went up the on-ramp, and it was just a fun time.
And Jerry,
I figured
you
great
said
show.
You heard helicopter. You heard.
There was one right above us.
Helicopter.
Yeah.
And
we saw two of them on the way down.
Yeah.
On the 405 ourselves.
It was very cool. I mean, you know, we'd never been involved in anything like that.
Well, so. And I don't think it was being filmed for a TV show or a movie.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they had the proper permits.
Hey, with us tonight, we have Mr. Henry Park, and he is on the line with us right now. Henry, talk to us.
Thank you. Yes, and this is actually kind of unusual because I'm calling one radio show from another radio show.
We like it.
Yeah. On Friday night at 6 at the Van Nuys Elks Lodge, we'll be performing classic episodes of The Green Hornet, The Great Gildersleeve, and Lights Out.
Oh, my God.
And I just snuck out of the rehearsal to call in. Anyway, about the next roundup, along with the final seven episodes we're all catching of AMC's Hell on Wheels, and I'm going to miss it like hell myself. AMC also has the new 8-part documentary, The American West,
yes.
Robert Redford's company.
Yes.
Have you caught any of that yet?
Watched the first episode last Saturday.
Good. Well, I'll have my interview with producers Stephen David and Tim Kelly, who also did Sons of Liberty.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And for everyone who loved Bone Tomahawk, I just spoke to the writer-director S. Craig Zoller, who told me his Western novel, Wraiths of the Broken Land, is going to be made into a movie, and it's directed by the great Ridley Scott.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Yeah, I'll have all the details on that. And the kids of Sergio Leone, the maestro of the Spaghetti Western,
right.
They're producing a Spaghetti Western TV series based on The Colt, which is a story Sergio wrote long, long ago.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Spaghetti Western TV show.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get it here or not. I know they're doing it in Italy, but hopefully they'll dub it badly, as is traditional. And
well, it has to be dubbed badly, and then their lips have to move and nothing can come out. That's part of the deal.
That's right. And everyone has the same voice.
Right.
Right. Now, in the current roundup, I have my review of the new Western Traded, starring Michael Pare, Trace Adkins, and Chris Christopherson, and my interview with its writer, Mark Esslinger. And let's see, also the talented writer-director John Sayles is doing those jobs on Django Lives, which is not a follow-up to Django Unchained.
So this is a new Django.
Right. Well, the new Django is the old one. This is a sequel to the 1960s one that Sergio Corbucci did that made a star out of Franco Nero. And he's back playing Django like 40 or 50 years older.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And it all takes place in Hollywood. I've heard two different versions. One where he's helping build sets on Intolerance or Birth of a Nation or something, and another where he's giving being a technical advisor on a Western. But it's going to be one of those. But speaking of Tarantino-related matters, have you heard about the trouble he's in now?
No.
No.
Well, he's producing, not directing, another Western. And a lot of Hollywood feminists went crazy because when they ran a casting notice, instead of saying he wanted saloon girls, the casting notice said, looking for horse for a Quentin Tarantino Western.
I did read that. Actually, I read that in your blog.
Send us your picture and put whore in the subject line. And for some reason, people are upset. I don't know. But for the record, the writer and director is a woman. So maybe she thought of that.
How special.
The new July issue of True West just came out, which is an all-special Buffalo Soldier issue. And in it, I've got an article on all of the Buffalo Soldier films, and I got to interview Constance Towers and Olympic great Rayford Johnson about starring together in John Ford's Sergeant Rutledge.
Right.
And I write guest blogs for the Inspiration Network's, INSP's website, and just posted a new one, The Good, the Bad, and the Good-Hearted Bad Guy, which is all about Western stars like James Stewart and Lee Van Cleef, who changed their images later in their career.
Huh.
And as you know, you can find all of this and too much more at Henry's Western Roundup at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Hey, Henry.
Yes,
The bookie has something she wants to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know who I am, right, Henry? I'm Jim's wife, and they call me the bookie. I had heard you on the radio one night talking about the Hardy Girls, and my mother was a Hardy Girl.
Oh, really?
Yes. And it just so happened she was there the day of the Kansas City Massacre at Union Station.
Oh, wow.
She,
oh my goodness!
Because she did not drive, she was underage but old enough to work. She rode to work at Union Station with the manager, and it just so happened he was late that day.
That was Harvey Girls. Right?
Harvey Girls.
Right.
Yeah.
Harvey Girls.
Yeah.
Harvey Girls.
And before my mother passed away, people would walk into the house, and she would show everybody this article about the Kansas City Massacre. Do I have it? No, I don't know where it is, but. Someday I'm going to do some research on it, but that was really interesting. The feds were there, and the dead bodies and everything at Union Station. I just wanted you to know that. So,
no, that's fascinating. What I always found so interesting about Kansas City Massacre was that I remember a gangster named Jelly Nash got killed there, and he was the very last direct link. Up until him, you could draw a direct line from Quantrell all the way to Jelly Nash.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, that's how long they had a criminal organization going there.
Wow. Well, it never stopped. They just changed the names.
That's it.
There
to protect
go.
The guilty.
There you go. Did you have something you want to ask, Bobby?
This was a quick one. Henry, I've been re-listening to shows, and last year when you were a guest on the show, I couldn't find your answer to the writer block question, and you write so prolifically, I can't imagine that you ever get writer's block. Do you?
Knock wood, I don't think I ever really have. My problem really has always been getting enough time to write.
Yeah.
I have so many things I'm behind on that when I sit down, it's a matter of what to write first.
Right, right. And the deadline, I would assume, often encourages you to write that piece first.
Exactly. You have four or five deadlines,
and
you know you can't meet half of them.
Right, right, right. Well, thank you. I thought I would take advantage of asking you that tonight because I missed the answer from last year.
She actually was going through looking for different answers.
I'll get right back to you.
Hey, thanks, Henry.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you in a couple.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Henry Park from Henry's Western Roundup.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Check him out. He writes some really cool stuff. I did read his article about the Traded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, actually. That's the one they kind of filmed out in Big Sky.
He covers everything so thoroughly, meticulously, and yet entertaining. entertainably? Is that the right word?
Like, entertainingly?
Entertainingly, thank you.
If that's even a word. Anyway, the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing and Simi Valley, the nice, clean-cut folks at Black Dog Publishing, by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, California, and by Target Freight Management in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
We mention Target Freight Management every show, and we mention that they have a full truckload service that's the best in the industry. But have we mentioned that TFM Truckload gets your freight there every time, on time? No muss, no fuss, at the rates you need for your transportation bottom line. Call today at 1-844-653-7789 and tell them you heard it on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra just for you. And while we're at it, if you are an LTL shipper, you are probably looking for the best rates at the lowest hassle possible. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just the ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web. Call today. You won't be sorry you did.
I also sent Mike Wagner, who owns Target Freight, he's the president, an email today and said, you're getting a little, you're running out of funds here. Are you going to renew? Boom. He was on within a minute. See, he was, oh, absolutely. So Target Freight is back on board.
We thank them.
And we do thank you so much for all the people out there in Target Freight Management. You're such nice people, and we thank you for your support. And next week, we have a new sponsor.
Coming on board
with us. And I'll go ahead and tell you who it is. It's Sutter's Mill Restaurant in Simi Valley. And
wonderful.
And Joe was actually taking some time, Joe Robinson, the owner, and written a pretty nice ad.
Nice.
That it's a 30-second ad, which will run at the bottom of the hour. So we have Target Freight at the top, Sutter's Mill at the bottom.
And great steaks.
And, oh, my God. Their food there is, like, phenomenal.
So they're like the bookends for the show.
They are the bookends for the show. And if you want to call in tonight, we really don't have any formatted stuff tonight other than our in-house writer, Jerry. if you want to call in and to just tell us we're idiots or whatever you want to say, the number here is 818-602-4929. Again, for us idiots, it's 818-602-4929. And with that being said, I would like to once again introduce Jerry, she's my wife, and she's also the booking agent for the show. And she actually, 30 years ago, I believe 30 years ago, somewhere around there, wrote a book along with a friend of hers.
Pat Lloyd.
And it's called The Pumpkin and the Scarecrow. And Jerry did all the illustrations, and I believe Pat did the text.
No, we both did the text.
You both did the text, yeah. Okay. It sat in a bag for years and years and years.
A Victoria's Secret bag, I might add.
Finally, when we got Black Dog Publishing up and running, I said, look, let's make this the very first thing that we do as a publishing company. So she put all these storyboards on an easel, and she photographed them, and then she gave them to me, and I cleaned them all up, and we got this book put together. It turned out to be a pretty cool little book, actually.
It's a fun, cute story.
Thank you.
And it's I just want to kind of turn the story over to Jerry so she can tell you kind of how it came about and blah, blah.
Well, it was almost 40 years ago now, I guess. It was October, and Pat and I were room mothers for our children, and we were given the task of doing something for the kids. And I decided, and Pat, we sat down and collaborated, and it wasn't a book then, and I didn't really have storyboards then, but we did have a big, huge pumpkin, and I did make a scarecrow, and we decided to call it The Pumpkin and the Scarecrow. And it's now, looking at it, what we've written, it's like more than a child's book. It's a book about self-esteem, and it's for ages like 5 to maybe 12. And there's more words on the page than most children's books have now that I've gone, you know, to look and see what other people do. And it was a fun thing to do. The second year, the teachers wanted us to do the same thing. So I thought, well, I'm going to do the storyboards and get another big pumpkin. And showed the storyboards. Well, she read the story, and we had a big, huge pumpkin. and the pumpkin had two faces, according to the story. The pumpkin wasn't being picked by the kids for the schools that were coming through the pumpkin patch. And he felt really bad, and he and the scarecrow started talking, and he decided that he was going to do something different. So he had lettuce for hair, he had a string bean for a mouth, and he had cucumber for eyes, and he had a zucchini for a nose. And that was on one side of the pumpkin. So as we were reading the story and the kids were coming through the pumpkin patch, still nobody was looking at him because they didn't want a pumpkin that looked like that. And, I mean, this pumpkin was huge that we had. And on the other side, then I had carved a face. So towards the end of the story, you just have to be yourself. That's it. Don't try and be anybody else. Just be who you are. And so I have to say, this is for my friend Dale Jackson, my new best friend. Peter Shirico, you're shoved aside. You're still my friend, not my very best friend. This is for Dale Jackson. I will read you a little bit. It says, Peter turned and waved goodbye to all of his animal friends. Gus the goat, Henry the horse, Red the rooster, Bessie the cow, and the old spotted dog. Now, I will have to say that there were some vegetables sliced and diced, but no animals were harmed in making this book. This that's for you, Dale Jackson.
Actually, the animals were very important because Scarecrow, who has some little challenges too, he's kind of depressed. He's he's not good at his job recently. He's not scary enough. He's kind of lost his ability to scare the birds.
Right.
He takes it upon himself to gather some animals from the barnyard, and they all collaborate and to create the, you know, give our Peter the pumpkin, Peter, right? To give Peter this fun sort of personality face. And it's very fun. All the friends, you know, the friends get together to try to help out.
Yeah, they try to make him something he's not.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun to do. And the teacher said, well, why don't you guys make this into a book? And I was like, you know, that'll never happen. 40 years later, I'm dragging it out and I'm thinking, how am I going to make this happen? And that's on my bucket list. That was probably the first thing on my bucket list. I've got to do it. So then my husband here said, let's try it. And we did. And it worked. So you can get it on Amazon.com.
It is available. And you know, everybody who's got it for their kids absolutely love this book.
Mm-hmm. And I've also included two Color Me pages because they're blank pages. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, if kids get crayons, they can draw their own pumpkins or their own scarecrow or their own barnyard or whatever it is that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love at the very end, we get wait for it.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
You know, it's a timeless story. Thinking about it, I had no idea you wrote it 40 years ago.
Yeah. So that was my writer's block.
It was your publisher's block.
40 years block.
So do you have, are you now inspired to do you have another, something you're going to pull out of that magic bag?
Well, somebody said, well, why don't you do a sequel? And I thought, how can I do a sequel? This pumpkin is going to be green, fuzzy, and all, you know, mangled. I don't know. I have to be inspired to draw again. I stopped drawing and painting for a long time, and I have to get inspired by something to do that. I would like to do another children's book, possibly with as many words on a page. I think that's important for children, not to just see the words the and we, Jim and Jane, or whatever. You know, it's important to have a story, I think, even when a child is 2 years old, to read to them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think it helps them with their vocabulary.
Right. We had a guest. Was it Gina McKnight? We talked about that. Oh, with the blackberry pail.
Yeah, that's Gina McKnight.
Yeah. And a lot of the words were words galvanized.
Right.
And, you know, things that don't show up in everyday conversation.
Right. She believes in giving big words to kids, so they have to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I like Gina, actually. I told you last week, yes, I had a nice interview with Gina. So.
And she sent us a thank you note.
She did. She sent us it. Would you like to read it?
Our first ever thank you note. So any of our past guests that are listening, if you feel guilty right now, you should. No. No, we love you. We love you. Keep liking us on Facebook and posting. That's just as good a gift. But this was a lovely note from Gina McKnight. Bobby, Jean, and Jim, thank you for a spot on the Writer's Block. The experience was wonderful, and thank you for the coffee mug, too. Your thoughtfulness will always be remembered. Sincere regards, Gina. And you can follow her at, check out her website at www.gmcknight.com. Right. And last week's guest, Peggy Chambers, wrote a wonderful blog entry about us on her blog view from hammock.
She did.
Really, really, really nice. So if you're listening tonight, Peggy, we really thank you for that.
And Gina, if you're listening, thank you so much. Yes. I mean, this is very nice of you to do this for us.
Yep.
You know, because we very rarely ever get anybody contacting us back. I think we destroy them once on the radio. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, we ask them to call, and the lines are silent.
You'll never call. You'll never write.
Peggy, keep typing. You told me you would.
Peggy. Yeah, Peggy, you cannot stop. There has got to be a sequel to The Secrets of Sand Hill Island. There has to be a sequel. And for me to remember the title, it's got to be a great book.
Well, we've read so many, too, this past year and a month or so. I've read some amazing books, and it is kind of hard to keep the author and the titles straight in my old mind.
It was one of the questions that Gina asked me during our interview was that she said, "Do you read often?" And my response was, "Gina, I have a weekly radio show about writing. I got to read a book a week." She goes, "Oh my God, I forgot about that."
Yeah, we do. We read a lot.
We don't often make it. I mean, sometimes we make it, but sometimes we just don't. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and I know Jerry, as you taking care of booking for us, I know you've lined up some really great authors coming up. Do you have that list? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I didn't bring it, and I don't have my computer with me.
She's got the dreaded calendar with her, the booking calendar.
About who's coming up?
Yes, I do. Actually, on the 23rd, David Vizard will be on. Now, he's in Michigan, so he'll be a call-in.
Right.
I have Drake Vaughn. He lives in Santa Monica, but I'm not sure if he's going to be here or not. And July is...
She's going to calendar number two.
Yeah, calendar number two. Tina Field Howe. And then on the 14th, Carolyn Howard. And the 21st, Peter Streitz, who... is going to be flying out here from the Bay Area with his wife.
What did he call her?
The Entourage.
The Entourage. sorry, Peter.
And then on the 28th, the twins will be here, Eric Heisner and Al Brindis.
And you're going to miss them because you're going to be on your concert series.
I'm going to have our concert series with Joe Harrington, who was a guest on the show last year.
But Russ he's got to meet these two.
Oh, you'll have such a great time with them.
We always do. Yeah. Even at the book festival, the Buckaroo Bookshop, so much fun.
You know, I listened to their podcast from last year, actually, today. I was kind of having fun. This was taking me longer than I thought. I always think right after the show, I should sit and do a transcript of it. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much great information that gets
really
shared.
Really, there is.
And I can't type it fast enough. I have to pause and type and listen and pause, and I don't know shorthand or, you know. So I haven't been able to transcribe. But today I thought it would be fun to just try to pick up snippets of the answer to our writer's block question.
Okay.
And it was too funny. I happened to catch with Eric and Al. We asked, you know, do you experience, and we called it creative block because Al's an artist.
Right.
And so we called it that. And Eric right away said, "I tell Al to quit whining and get back to work."
And I believe that.
And then Al did talk about, as an artist, some of the challenges. And then when we asked, we finally said to Eric, "So Eric, you know, what about you?" And he said, "Not writing is easy, so I sit down and write every mornings, and some days it's a lot of fun, and some days it's hard work. Sometimes I'll tell my wife, 'Oh, this morning was great, just flowing out.' But every day isn't like that. Not really. Some days you've got to pull it out, keep it going, it'll start flowing. And sometimes you've got to pump the well to get it flowing." But they were so fun when you listen to the dynamics between the two of them. And Eric just jumping in and saying, "I tell Al to quit whining." They have such a special relationship. You'll really enjoy having them
back in the studio. They are great
talking
guests.
Talking about the new book will be very exciting.
What's some of the other answers to the questions?
J.R. Sanders. Back from June 18th. Jim, have you ever had writer's block, JR? Well, I sort of exist at a permanent state of writer's block with occasional bursts of creativity, and so you jump on those when they come along. Actually, what most people call writer's block, I think, is fear. Fear combined with procrastination, and I'm a terrible procrastinator. When I get bogged down, what I find is useful, go back 5 pages, and I'll scrap what I've written and start from that point and redo the 5 pages. Sometimes I actually rewrite the same thing or similar to the original or completely different, but it gets momentum going, and a deadline will snap you out of writer's block every
in a
time.
Second.
And we love JR. That was a wonderful interview
with
JR Sanders back June 18th. Yeah. That was really fun, and there are some great nuggets. We've got to figure out how we can get these transcribed, because we move on to tell us about your process. Tell us about what advice would you give to you know, and there's just a wealth of information.
Yeah. I mean, this show has been wonderful for not only our audience, but for us as well. I mean, I've learned a lot since we've been doing this show.
Who do you remember who said no?
Three or four people said no.
Well, I didn't listen to enough of them.
I can tell you, let me see. I believe, what's her name?
I don't mean to put you on a hot spot.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I think it was the one that Russ and I had not too long ago, 3 weeks ago maybe.
Oh, okay.
She just plain flat said no.
Okay. Oh, was it Sarita Stevens?
Yes.
Ah, she's so prolific.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so did Ed Erlach.
Okay.
I can't say I have. I've got too many ideas and not a lot of time. But the way that he understood the term in his own mind was about being stuck, not having an idea to get started with.
Right.
Which was not, you know, what most people understand is I am writing.
I'm in the middle of something stuck. And now I can't go any further.
Yeah, and for Ed, his concept is I run fresh out of ideas. So then when you interviewed him a little bit more, asking, you know, sometimes I can get in a corner, I get painted into a corner. And then I turn it over to my friend Jeff. He said, I give it to my buddy Jeff to read and I tell him me how to fix it. that was another really great, great interview with Ed.
Erlach. Well, that was another Russ night.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and speaking of Russ, we mentioned last week on the show that Russ's mom passed last Wednesday. And tonight he was going to be here, but his mom's service was today and all his family's in town. So he wanted to make sure that we said hi for him and that he's really sad he's not here, but he's glad he's getting to spend some time with his family. So our thoughts go out to you, Russ. And if you ever listen to this show, which is unlikely, we do have our thoughts go out to you.
Yep. Definitely thinking about you tonight.
Yeah. Well, as we have already mentioned, tonight is just a mess around night because we really had no guests booked. And it was thought kind of fun to do this a couple times a year where we just all get together and just BS.
I think everybody said no because of vacation and the kids graduating from school.
Yeah, I think so.
So it was.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they picked it up again right away.
Yeah.
So we actually are booked through the end of 2016, which is amazing to me. I mean, we were booked through 2015 by, May or June or July last year. And now we're booked, today's still June, and we're booked through the end of December.
Jerry, I know we get a lot of requests to be on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about how somebody contacts you and the vetting process?
In
maybe
your process.
I don't want to put you in a hot spot, but we know people. Well, we know people will start wanting 2017,
right?
So maybe help them know what they need to do.
Right.
Well, actually, all they really need to do is contact me at guestwb@yahoo.com and give me their names and. The only thing that I request of them is that I do have an attachment, and I will send them a nice little letter, and they have to answer all the questions on the attachment. Plus, before I can give them a booking date, I really would like to have a brief synopsis of the story, because a lot of times we don't get the books.
Right.
And sometimes PDFs will be sent, or they send it in another format, and I can't open it up. So that's really what I'm looking for. And I was very surprised that I still have emails from people that have requested from last year to be on this year, and they're not able to come on until like October or November of this year. And I've had to save all those emails, and they're my computer's like ready to burn up already.
I had to buy her a brand new computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the document that they fill out is so helpful, because then you share it once they get booked with us, and that gives us like a website to go to. If they've been interviewed before, that's really helpful. So
their bio.
Can listen, so we have some idea of, you know, how it will be to engage them in conversation.
Right.
And it also just fills in blanks for us. It just gives us a little more information than can be put on a document. So that's really, really helpful. We want to show the authors off to their best.
We do.
We're not 60 Minutes. We really want to promote you. So you have to help us promote you by giving us information.
We're never going to show up at your front door at 7 o'clock in the morning with a camera crew.
I don't know. Maybe we should have a new direction for 2017.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, God knows we got video cameras. So.
Well, we could do live stream from on Facebook now if we wanted to.
Yeah, we could.
Right, from here, which I've had a few people say that would be so cool, because we'd love to see you.
All they have to do is punch into Facebook and go to our page, and there we are.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to actually see that, not that what we do is so engaging in the studio, but the technology today, it's so hard to keep on top of what's available.
It truly is. You know? And again, if you want to call and talk to the four of us, which I can't imagine why you would want to, the number here is 818-602-4929, and I'll give you that number again, just in case you're a little slow. 818-602-4929, and that comes right directly into the studio, and we get to answer the phone right here on our board. So, yay.
Now, Jim, you must be working on another book.
I am. I actually am. I'm working on a working title called The Way of the Gun. And the premise is there's an old ex-Texas Ranger, ex-lawman, and his job has been for the last 20 years to travel, or 15 years. He accepts these positions in towns as a town marshal and goes and cleans up these cattle towns and mining towns, and that's what he does. And his name is Caleb Stringfield. And he is now, he's at the last town that he's ever going to go to. It's called End of Line. And I know, it's fortuitous, isn't it? And he's there, and he knows he's sick. But heretofore, he doesn't know exactly what his problem is. He has just gone to the doctor and found out. So, but then the backside of the story is that Jeff Stryker, who is one of my main characters, is following another guy at the behest of the hunter. He has followed this guy all the way from Arizona into New Mexico and heading up to End of Line. And it turns out this guy's name is Jesse Morgan, and he is part of the family that is actually out to get Caleb Stringfield. So there's going to be a big confrontation, and it's going to be cool. But this Jesse Morgan guy, he's really nasty, because he just runs across families and just does them in.
And this will be one of those, I got to turn that page quickly.
Yeah, probably.
Does he kill dogs?
No, there are no dogs injured in this book.
I have to say, I didn't mention that. Thank you, Jim.
I will say that no dogs are injured in the writing of this book. But I do have a little excerpt here.
Oh, good.
And this kind of shows the dichotomy between Jesse Morgan and Jeff Stryker, and how they feel about the nighttime. Because it's two different feelings, totally. And this is how Jesse feels. The dark was undoing him, and Jesse knew it. Never being one to appreciate the healing of the dark, Jesse lived somewhat in the ways of the mountain people as he was growing up. The people transplanted from the mountains of Arkansas. The people steeped in the superstitions that helped them answer questions with which they had no answers. Goblins and ghosts always filled the bill, and Jesse grew up straight, strong, and terrified of the things that live in the inky blackness of the night.
So that's, me too.
That's how Jesse feels. Now, this is Stryker's take on the nighttime. Mm-hmm. Now, he's just finished burying five people, and he's not a happy camper. All they could do was baby. Unfortunately, this was turning out the same. The Leadbetters were 4, and Ben Labears was 5, and Stryker didn't finish the Leadbetters graves until well past midnight. Feeling the exhaustion creep into his body, Stryker walked to the barn and made a bed of straw in one of the stalls. After making sure Apache, that's his horse, his mule, and Labears' horse were cared for. Lying with his head propped on his hand, Stryker thought back to the start of this hunt. Something didn't make sense to him, and he mulled it over and over until sleep finally overtook him, and he drifted into an easy fantasy festooned with screaming demons, dark entities, and the unadorned bodies of the dead now resting in their graves.
Oh, my gosh.
He has interesting dreams, doesn't he?
Well, you got to remember, he's just freshly back from hunting a demon.
Right.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's how these two guys take the nighttime, and neither one of them are comfortable. Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So, anyway, I have, yes, that's, and the book I just finished, please, is available on Amazon. It's called The Return.
Yes.
For anybody who's interested. Actually, the owner of Sutter's Mill is actually reading it now, and he, last Saturday, he looked at me and he goes, "You are diabolical."
Well, that's part of what flows out of your pen.
Well, what, diabolical?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, murder, mayhem, blood, gore.
I was...
Swear words.
Sometimes it comes from his wife.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But DB, never have I done an animal other than a horse.
Oh.
I have killed a lot of horses. Most of them Strykers. Yeah. But I've killed a few.
Yeah.
I've killed a few.
Okay, we're done now with Dale.
We are. We love you, Dale. So... In fact, if you're listening, call in and talk
and you're
to
new,
us.
You're my new best friend, Dale, so.
I've been looking on my phone. I'm not very technical, but you were reading, of course, from your book, and it made me think about something. This morning on Campfire Cafe, which is another show that I co-host, we had a really fabulous musician on by the name of Carolyn Sills, who has the Carolyn Sills Combo. They are out of the Monterey Bay area, Santa Cruz.
Oh.
And... They're going to actually open for Asleep at the Wheel September 2nd down in Huntington Beach. And they have their second CD is just out called Dime Stories. It's really wonderful. And they have a song called Even Villains Once Were Babies.
Oh.
And here's just a little bit of the lyric from it. So don't raise them up to be crazy. Read them books and give them loving. Feed them food out of your oven. More good people is what we're needing. So if you don't do that, don't breed them. Let's not pop them out like daisies. Even villains once were babies.
That's actually pretty good.
I think I like that, Asleep at the Wheel. That's really
unusual. Oh, they're wonderful. Asleep at the Wheel, Ray Benson and the Asleep at the Wheel group, they've been performing about 40 years, and they do Western Swing, Bob Wills, and lots of others, and everybody's toured with them. They're just a phenomenal group, and for them to be coming to Huntington Beach, they're coming to the Don Beachcomber Tiki Bar, like restaurant place, sounds really fabulous, and to be invited for Ray Benson to invite them to come down and open for them is just huge.
It's huge.
And
yeah.
So we will be there that night. So yeah, anyway, it's a really, really fun CD. But while you were reading, I thought,
reading?
Yeah, here's the opportunity to talk about
all of the
villains once were babies.
So next week you have...
Next week we have our concert, and Tom Hyatt is our performer. This will be the second time performing as part of the Out West Concert Series. Tom is the real deal, has been a working cowboy, sings a lot of his original work as well as some great traditional standards. And we're just really looking forward to having him. It'll be a really fun night, and he's by himself, so it'll be a very intimate evening. And we're excited to have Tom. It's hard to believe that three weeks have come and gone, and here we are a week away from the concert.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kind of a funny month because there's 5 weeks five Thursdays in this month.
Right.
So you're with me in the last Thursday.
I am.
Yeah, and that's when we have who?
Von Drake. It sounds like one word, but it's Von.
I actually have, I think, a PDF of his book that I probably need to.
Oh, I need to. I'll need to check to see if I have that too.
You probably do. I have them buried in my PDF reader.
The hard thing about PDFs, and maybe you can help me with this, when I pull it up, I can read it. It's just great. But I can't seem to have it save me what page I ended on. So I always have to remember. So when I pull it up again, it wants to take me back to, you know, the cover or the title.
It does mine too.
And I sometimes do this at 2 and 3 in the morning. And unless I write the page number down, well, I sometimes have to go back and reread anyway. But there must be some tricks about how to
I don't know.
Read. Is there a bookmark page?
Is there a bookmark page?
I don't know that there are in PDFs. I know that there are in ebooks.
Right, in ebooks.
But I don't think there's a bookmark page in PDFs. I know you can, at the top of the PDF reader, you can put in the page number that you want to go to. And it just takes you right to that page. But you have to remember the page number.
Right, right.
Which means you have to write it down, which means that you're probably sunk already.
It is really wonderful to have access to them. So I'm happy to have it.
Right.
But it is a little tricky.
It really is. And, you know, Kindle has a really great downloadable PDF and ebook reader that you can put on your laptop.
Oh, maybe that's what I need.
And it doesn't cost anything. Uh-huh. It's called just a Kindle laptop appliance, and you just go there and you download it, and it goes right to your laptop, and you can save. You can open PDFs with it.
Okay.
You can feed anything you have into this.
That's probably not the reader that I have. My guessing it's not the reader that
probably
I have.
Not.
Yeah. Does it transfer from the Kindle to your laptop, or does it?
Actually, when you download anything now to your Kindle, whether it's laptop or your Kindle or whatever, it all goes to every device you have that you're logged into.
So then you're storing books upon books upon books also in your Kindle.
I'm actually deleting books upon books upon books.
But they're in the cloud.
I know.
Yeah.
And I have a Nook, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through yesterday, I think, or last night, maybe this morning, and started deleting books that we've already read and, you know. Some of them don't let you know. You can't delete this.
It's still, you don't own any. I still like to sit in our rooms where there are books and gaze my eyes on the spines and look at the car collection books and I look at the recipe books. And this is kind of like who we are. And all of those books that I've read, they're part of who I am too. But when I delete them or I don't know, I still have this funky thing about the electronic world and that you always are going to have enough money to keep your everything active and have enough room. Yeah. And you know what, when I'm 92 and I'm
Please.
You know, it's going to be me and my books, or am I going to just all store everything?
Well, for sure, you'd be talking funny. Where did I put that Kindle?
I don't remember the page, so you sunk anyway.
Yeah, what page was I on?
Yeah, was it?
Damn it.
I'll be doing Audible books by then and having to listen to everything, which actually is another really cool way, actually. You know, the whole Audible book, they've always been there, but it seems like that's making a big, there's been a lot of promotion for Audible because we're driving or you know, we're doing, so it does give us an opportunity. I've
never been real thrilled with some of the readers of these books. You know, they're like, I just.
Well, that's not what I'd want to read.
No. But it's like you pop these discs into your car and you're driving along and it's just like really boring.
Well, maybe,
even the story may be really good.
Yeah. Well, maybe you haven't listened to any of this new stuff because they're really promoting it big time. You know, I've seen a lot of ads on TV about it's really cute. Like somebody's listening and they're on the beach, but what they're seeing is like the banquet table with the Norse gods, you know,
Yeah, I've seen it. I actually liked the banana commercial we saw today. That was pretty funny.
Well, yeah. It was pretty funny.
Man, we didn't have
today. It's for a crayon. Yeah, colored markers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I missed that.
Oh, well, don't. If it comes on, don't turn it off. Don't turn off the sound.
Do you think they'll ever figure out a way to waft, you know, scent, you know, through our computers so we get that whole experience of
I honestly hope not, because some of the scenes that I write, I don't want to smell them. I mean, I can remember back when I was writing Stryker and they found those dead bodies and there was the guy, they pulled the tarp back and that guy was bloated in the wagon. Oh, geez.
Well, yeah, the romantic West and the real West, you know, two entirely different things.
You know, and people don't stop and think, how the hell do you get that smell out?
Yeah, but everybody was experiencing it.
Yes.
So,
hope nobody's eating dinner right about now.
You know, and that's why I had the hunter have the cinnamon oil in his saddlebags to put on his bandana so he could put it over his nose. But it still just smelled like, you know, dead cinnamon oil at that point. And then Stryker even put it over his horse's nose.
All right, so Jerry.
So, I know, that's getting a little gross.
Do you, Jerry, have a favorite, not necessarily somebody that has been booked on the show, do you have a favorite author or genre that you like to read? Or Jim's pointing
to himself.
Well, I sat there in Radio Land. Jim is pointing to himself.
I am, but only because she wants to be paid now.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been wanting to be paid
she
for a long time.
She has to come up with the right answer.
No. Jim Christina is my favorite author.
Okay, and
good answer.
And besides Jim, Jim.
Well, actually, I used to like James Patterson until he was writing a book once a week. I liked Alex Cross. I really liked those books. It was a fast read. I'm kind of a funny reader where if I open up a book and it's not spaced the way I think it should be spaced, there's too many words on a page, I won't read it. It has to grab me in order for me to read that book. And so far, I really haven't found a book that will grab me that I could read.
Other than Secrets of Sandhill.
You know what?
I knew she liked that book as soon as she started reading it because she wouldn't stop.
Well, he bought it for me.
I did.
He bought it for me, and it came the next day, and I grabbed it up, and I think I stayed up till 1 or 2 in the morning reading
it. Yes, she has the hard copy.
Oh.
Yes, I do.
Ooh,
and
luxury.
I had to finish it before Thursday because I knew you guys were talking to Peggy, and I didn't. I wouldn't have listened to the show if...
Spoiler alerts.
I
can't stop gushing about that.
I know.
We just loved it.
Let's see. Do you mostly enjoy fiction? Do you read any? Do you read nonfiction at all, or do you find mostly what you read is fiction?
Mostly fiction.
Yeah. Jim, what do you? Yeah. I know. Obviously, the show we read. You know what's coming.
We read just
but
about
let's
everything.
Say before what we've had to do the last year, were there favorite authors that you had? Or
John Sanford. James Patterson, much like Jerry. I mean, he got way too prolific for me. That happens to a lot of writers. Michael Connelly, one of my very favorites. We just love Harry Bosch. What a great character is he. And then, of course, I love biographies and good history books. And as a matter of fact, we have information to get Casey Turtefeller on here, who wrote the Wyatt Earp book.
The book on Wyatt Earp.
And we met him at the Cowboy Festival. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to getting him on this show. So he should be in studio. His book, I've read his book probably 5 times. And there's one that a history professor in, I want to say New Mexico, wrote. It's called And Die in the West. It's about
Paul Hutton?
Paula
Marx?
Yes.
Paula Marx.
Yeah.
Yeah, And Die in
what
the West.
What a wonderful
That's
book.
That's a really great book. That's been touted as one of the best books about Tombstone for a long time.
Yeah, she's really, I mean, she doesn't pull any punches. She really gets down into the dirty part of what happened there. So.
Yeah. And something you just said reminded me of, which is, it's gone, whatever it was.
It flew out the window,
it's
did it?
Gone. It just flew out the window.
What happens when you get old?
Shoot. Sugar pops. Was a good question too. Gosh, I should have written it down.
Page 34.
On page 34.
Yeah, we had a guest. Unfortunately, I don't remember recently when we were talking about authors that inspired her, and Joyce Carol Oates was one of the authors. And I think today is her birthday, and I think she turned 78. She was born in 38. I didn't know she was, you know. I was having fun today trying to think of a few things for tonight, and I thought, I wonder if there's this website for literary moments in history. Like today, you know, different things that have happened, and her birthday came up.
Ooh.
And I used to read a fair amount of hers years and years and years ago. I haven't read anything in a long time, but I thought, 70s. Like, how did people get older?
Well, it happens. It happens naturally.
That's what I'm sitting here wondering myself.
And if you look, if you're wondering what we're going to do tonight, and we are
and
almost
here we are.
Out of time.
Oh my gosh, it's like 10 minutes up.
It's like
Jim didn't even say anything tonight.
Well, he said a couple of things. He remarked about the book.
Yes.
And remarked about the characters in Jim's book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like we always have stuff to talk about. So.
Well, I hope it was interesting.
Well, we'll know, I guess, in a day or two.
We didn't have any Christmas stories for you tonight, Bobby. We're looking
but
forward to
it. But we will in December.
Yeah. Yes.
We will in December.
Yes. That was really fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And this year we're going to have Russ.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got a handful as well. Even though right now he's a poor guy. I just feel for him. I feel for him. So, it is... coming to the end of our hour, our 50 minutes, and I have to say thank you so much, Bookie, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for
giving us the schedule. And we have again, who's next week?
David Vizard.
David Vizard.
From Michigan.
Right. So he's on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And I won't be here.
Bobby won't be here, but our assistant co-host will be here, Russ Havison. Of course, we'll be in studio. And we always have a good time with Russ, and you're going to have a great time with your concert series, as you always do. And we thank you. If you've actually listened to this broadcast tonight, wow, we really thank you. And we've had a great time, and we just love talking to y'all. And we can keep doing this for another 5 years. What do you think?
There you go.
Okay. And with that being said, thanks for being with us. We'll see you next Thursday on The Writer's Block.
Keep writing.